Anna? Please stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the IBM WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. For opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Elaine Papanagoulou. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Kelsey. Welcome, everyone. Good morning and good afternoon. We'd like to welcome you to our first WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. My name is Elaine Papanagoulou. I'll be the moderator for this call. Within 24 to 48 hours, an MP3 file and the presentation will be available for you on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site, so you may replay it at your convenience. If you've not yet joined the e-meeting, please do so now. An e-meeting URL is available to you on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. If you cannot access the e-meeting, please refer to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site for assistance or send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com. That's wsehelp@us.ibm.com. And our co-moderator, Billy Godleski, will send you a link to the charts. Today's presenter is James Kachuba. James is currently a WebSphere Application Server Support Staff Engineer, and he is the technical team lead for IBM support personnel whose focus is on WebSphere Extended Deployment and WebSphere Application Server. This role requires focus on customer issues to help guide support engineers and customers alike toward problem source identification and ultimate problem resolution. Today's topic is Discovery and Synchronization Design for WebSphere Application Server. It includes a series of charts followed by a question and answer session, and the objectives of the webcast are to help attendees develop an understanding about design and the need for discovery and synchronization, as well as the ability to perform problem determination for synchronization and discovery issues. During the presentation, all the lines will be muted, and all of your questions will be taken at the end of the presentation. If you're in the e-meeting, you'll see the presentation. And at this point, I'd like to turn the meeting over to James Kachuba.
Thank you, Elaine. This is James Kachuba, as noted. Today, our agenda is to go through the overview real quick of WebSphere. This applies to WebSphere version 5.0, 5.1, and 6. Right here, we're going to talk some background information about the repository, what a distributed environment is, because that's where this applies. Then we'll go into the design of the discovery and synchronization and learn about what methods, what messages are sent around, how this works, and why this is important. And at the end, we'll talk some problem determination, just so if you have any problems, what you need to do and how to debug some of the common issues that we do see from support. Next slide. So an overview of why this is important is that with WebSphere version 5 and on, we separated the administration functionality from the servers. That in a distributed environment, we don't want a single point of failure to happen in this, that we're going to maintain order with discovery, where the processes discover each other, but then some other process might be administrating it. So that way, administration doesn't hurt any of your actual application running. And then we use synchronization to maintain the configuration on these multiple machines. So here we're going to learn about the design and implementation of these protocols and see some of the WebSphere traces, the outputs of that information. Next slide. Hoping everybody here on the phone understands, you know, what WebSphere administration tools there are, understands how to read an XML file. That way they can see that information. When you leave this talk, hopefully you'll understand the design and the need for the discovery and synchronization protocols, and then ability to perform some problem determination on there before calling support. Next foil. So the background information about the repository is we're going to go through an overview. The repository contains all the configuration that you set up in WebSphere. So once you install it, you start configuring WebSphere to do what you want. All this gets stored inside our WebSphere config directory. So in your WebSphere install, you have a config directory there. There is a cell repository and a node repository. The cell repository is your master configuration. It stores everything there, and then on each node, so your base install, will contain a node repository, which is only containing information needed for that specific node. It doesn't contain information about another node server because it's not going to run on that machine. The updates are one way from the master configuration down to the node. So if it's not inside that node, inside the master configuration, it will not be set there. And then the repository service exists on every server, so that way each server can go read the configuration and manipulate it if it needs to. Next slide. Sort of locked up on my...
Sorry, it's locked up?
Okay, now it's refreshing on my head.
Okay, excuse me 1 second. I'm just going to I'm going to jump out of this for 1 second because
refresh all the way.
Okay, I've been pinged. If anybody's having trouble getting into the meeting, please make sure you contact WSEhelp@us.ibm.com.
Okay. So about the configuration documents that are inside this config directory, the majority of them are XML files, so you can read it. Other things that are stored here are your binaries from your application, so the actual ear file, the XMI files, and also you can store other information inside here. We don't really recommend that, but you know, some clients do store some information that they want synchronized on all the machines. So you know, you can't use the WebSphere synchronization to move your files. We don't recommend it because we do have our own naming structure that if you conflict with that, you can cause some problems. So be careful if you're doing that. So I stated, you know, any changes to the deployment manager will be pushed down to the nodes if it's applicable to that node. So if you just go to the node specifically and change something, that's temporary. You know, you could use that to test out something and see if it actually works before actually, you know, submitting it to the master configuration. But note, you know, you had to place it in the master configuration to be there. Inside here, there is a hierarchy of directories. So anything at the lower levels does overwrite information at the higher level, so something set at the cell level can get overwritten by something set at the node level or at the server level. So if they conflict, that's where the lower level information will be the one that the server is actually going to use. Next slide. So note before, each server can read the files directly, so that way, you know, it doesn't rely on some other process to tell it what it's supposed to do. It can go directly to the configuration files and read it. To edit these files, you can use scripting like ANT or other tools out there. You have WSAdmin commands to modify these files. The admin console is a nice GUI interface. And WebSphere, we do provide APIs, so you can write your own program to call our specific APIs, public APIs, to modify, look at, and play around with these files. You can also edit these files. Again, it's not recommended, but you know, sometimes some situations do require you to go in and manually edit that. Here's the configuration structure. Inside here, we can see that you can see the cells directory is what came above the cells directory would be your config directory, and then above that, your actual WebSphere home where it's installed. And then you have the cells. Each one of these, you know, has some files inside there. There's some important information to note that anything in the cell one directory is global to everybody. So everybody's going to see that, and everybody can use that information. You have an applications folder that contains all your enterprise apps that are installed. So if it's not in the applications folder, we're not going to use that actual ear file. You can see there's a cluster folder. If you have clusters there, you can see each node will be represented in here, where each node will have specific information for that. So the master configuration will have a list of all the nodes, while each individual node will only have information for that specific node that it needs. Note in version 6, there are some more folders that are specific that are new functions that are designed there. The Information Center does have more information about those folders, but right now we're just really focused on this, you know, stripped-down base version here. Next slide. So let's move on to the distributed environment. To create this is where the discovery and synchronization is going to be used. And here we can how to create this environment is that you need an ND, a Network Deployment Manager install, and a base install somewhere else. Or, you know, in Census 6.0, you have a bunch of profiles, you create an app server profile or a custom profile, and then what you need to do is federate that to an ND profile or install based on what version you're at. And the procedure to do this is that you have either installed or profiles created. You federate that either using the add node script. We do recommend using that because it has more options and does it's a little bit more safer to use. Versus the admin console, it's a lot less options that you have compared to the add node, and the console has to communicate to the server, because the deployment manager console is going to talk to the app server and then communicate back and forth to federate that, versus add node just is one Java file that will just talk directly to the deployment manager and cuts down on the usage. The node configuration, this is the only time where the node configuration is moved from the base node to the ND, so this is the only time it moves from a lower level to the upper level. After that, synchronization happens to always do this one-way transfer of files now. So now, once it's up here, the deployment manager is going to contain the master configuration and push it always down to the node. So no information from the node will be pushed up again. The node agent will be started, and this requires no new software. Nothing needs to be added. These are scripts that we provide, and this, you know, transformation happens based on everything that's already there on the system. So you don't need to install or do anything new except run the command. Next slide. So here's a picture of what this distributed environment is. You can see you have the deployment manager. It could be on the same box. It could be on a different box. In this picture, there's two nodes, and you know both nodes are, you know, federated to this deployment manager. So you have this master configuration up in the top center, and that information is pushed down to each node. It only contains information specific to that node. So you can see on node A, it doesn't contain any information about server C because it's not actually going to run on this machine. So node A doesn't really care about server C so much. So you can see this information, the configuration information. Also, you can see the dotted line. That's pushed down and then, you know, pushed out to the server so they can see that information. And each server reads directly the configuration. It doesn't need to go to the node agent to read that. Next slide. So now we're going to learn about discovery. So these processes, since they're all running, you know, on different boxes, even on the same box, you know, they need to first discover each other so that way they can start communicating to actually do anything. So the discovery protocol uses TCP by default. If you're running 5.0 earlier versions, it might be using UDP, but we definitely recommend TCP as a protocol set up so that way you can make sure the connections are made and network problems aren't causing discovery issues. Other protocols you can use is UDP or multicast, which is a UDP-based broadcast. And that's right now it's used for application servers, so that way the node agent doesn't need to ping each app server. It just sends out one broadcast. And each process can be a sender and receiver. So what you have is basically in a discovery, you have a sender and another process a receiver. There's no set. Like I said, any process can be this, so it's not set that the deployment manager process is always a sender. It could be both a receiver based on who's starting up and who initiated the conversation. So the sender starts up, it listens on the discovery port, and sends out a discovery query message to its peers on an interval of powers of two, so 1, 2, 4 minutes. And it keeps doing that till, you know, it discovers the process that it's interested in. And what it does is it discovers it by the peer get the information, send it back, and you get the discovery response message. So it takes that information, processes that to update its routing table so that way it knows who it discovered and information on how to talk to that process and what's going on, the process ID and information. What the receiver does is it listens on the discovery port for these discovery query messages that are sent to it. So it receives one of those query messages, updates its routing table, and then it can start monitoring that, and then it will send back the response to whoever hit it first, to the sender. And note, in the network deployment manager, there is an option called standalones under the administration services, and what this does is disables this process from happening. So what it does is it basically turns off the discovery port so it can't be a sender or a receiver, and that means basically it's outside of this administration design, like we can't administrate it if we can't discover it first off. Next slide. So here's a picture of this distributed environment. You can see you have the deployment manager again at the top. In this case, A is the initial, you know, it's acting as a sender. It sends out to the node agents. The node agents are receiving it and sends back to the deployment manager so that way they discover each other. And you can see the multicast, the node agents send out a message to the multicast, which gets sent out to all the app servers, which are managed processes. Because it could be a JMS server, it could be an app server. But that's then the app servers talk back to it, and this is how they all discover each other. Next slide. Looking at the specifics of this, in this case, we actually have the node agent as the receiver, I mean, as the sender. And the first thing it does after it starts up is it broadcasts the discovery to everybody that needs to discover it. And the node deployment manager will receive this information, update its routing table, note that it discovered a node agent, and then send back its response. So you can see that in this case, the deployment manager was the receiver, node agent was the sender. Next slide. So in WebSphere version 5 and above, we start using this JMX design, the Java management extensions, and what that requires is mBeans, these management beans. And inside here, this is an mBean, discovery is an mBean. And what the design is that if we can't discover it based off of like multicast, because maybe you didn't set up the network to actually allow multicasting to happen on that system and network, that we do go back to the query and respond methods of the embeds that the JMX provides. So that way the app server still will be discovered even though you didn't set up multicasting on that network. Inside here, you'll see that it gets registered once we find somebody in the system out log of the processes. You'll see this nice entry that says, you know, process discovered, has the name of the process, and it has the PID. So if the server goes down and comes back up and, you know, you still saw a message that is discovered, if the PID doesn't match, that means we didn't discover that new process PID. And with the JMX design, every MBean can emit a notification. In this case, the discovery MBeans are emitting a discovery of the child and loss of the child processes, and it emits a notification that it discovered a parent, but we can't notify when a parent is lost because of the hierarchy design. We just can't determine that information. Next slide. So with this, we break down the messages. As noted before, we send out a query message and a response message. And what do these messages contain? It has a query ID with it, so that way we know which message that was sent, what it relies on, so that way we don't get servers mixed up and who was sent when. And with this, we also have the peer advertisement information, the cell, the node it belongs to, the role information, if it's a node agent, the managed process, you know, the cell manager, which is the point manager process. Service information, so that way it knows how to connect back to that process and make sure it has correct information of what it's doing. The endpoints, location of the discovery port. And then you have the target information. Target information is the cell, node, and role who is trying to ping its discovery message or the response message. This information is represented in server information on the server. You know, it contains this information in memory, loads up. And then on the wire, if you're tracing it or if you actually captured these packets, it would be in XML format so you can actually read and see this information. We go to the next slide. We go on to synchronization. So after we discovered each other, we'll move on to what happens when we synchronize. Because we have to move the information here. This, what it does is it moves and removes your configuration information, moves the files or directories based on what it needs on the node and deployment manager. So the deployment manager contains this cell sync MBean, so that way at least you know the name. And this cooperates with the node agent to process the sync operation. Each node agent has its own MBean, the node sync bean, that drives this operation to compare the repositories and then get the updates that this node needs. There's two different styles. There's a synchronization and a full synchronization. We'll go through what each one of those do and the differences. Next slide. So the concept is that there's an auto-sync built in. This automatically syncs periodically. It's there by default. The default value is 1 minute, so this happens every minute that it does a synchronization. You have the startup sync, which is not the startup of the node agent or the deployment manager. It's actually the startup of an application server. So when the node agent starts up an application server, it will actually do a synchronization before that. You can do the manual syncs, which, you know, there's a bunch of tools to do that. The configuration properties in the XML files are the auto-sync enabled, which is true or false, the sync interval, which is the number in minutes, and then the sync on server startup, which is, again, like true or false. So note that the synchronization is going to use an optimizing algorithm, so that way, you know, we're not using up your network too much and, you know, taking up too much time to determine what needs to be moved around. Next slide. So this optimizing algorithm, how we determine that is we have these epoch and digest values for everything in the repository. The epoch value is a WebSphere assigned value. Basically, it's a time stamp that we do. We just set up inside there. We use milliseconds of time for the overall configuration and for each folder. There's a value set for that. And this determines if synchronization should compare the files inside there if these values don't match on both of the repositories. So you do have the repository has the master epoch value, which is your master one set for the master cell and one set for the nodes cell. Repository, and then each folder will have one inside this config directory. The digest value is a checksum value that is calculated from the configuration. Once we look at each file, we'll do a checksum and then find out if those differ, and that's how we determine if that specific file needs to be moved. The epoch values are stored in the deployment manager and node agent memory, so that's why when they start up, they'll have some value. And when these differs, you know, they'll change the value to the correct value. So that way, the in-flash memory, you know, with the optimizing algorithm, we know if anything new needs to be moved. Next slide. So one thing to note, as noted before with our configuration, your installed apps are inside our config directory. So that means these will be moved with synchronization. We are now monitoring your ear file in the configuration files associated with that to determine if that differs on these two systems. And if they differ, we will move that ear file down. And every time this ear file is moved down, the actual ear file, we will actually re-expand it out. So if you're doing a lot of hot deployment things where you're modifying the expanded out ear file, you have to be careful with synchronization that if we move the ear file, we will overwrite that and basically reinstall that ear file, re-expand it out. But the big thing to note about this is not part of the synchronization process. What the synchronization process does is it sends a flag, sets a flag in the node agent to note that the ear file moved. So synchronization can complete, and the ear file might not be expanded out. So after the node agent sees all the flags for what ear files need to be expanded out, it'll go expand out the ear files. So if you have extremely large ear files, we're talking about based on your system, usually we see about 100 megabytes ear files, those do take a little bit longer than the synchronization. So the synchronization will complete successfully, but your ear file won't be expanded out. So trying to start that, you will have some problems because you might start the enterprise app before it's actually there, so you'll get some errors about file not found, ear file doesn't start. There is a little fix in there that sets a new notification there for is app ready. That's out on our support page you can find. So that way you can determine when the ear file is actually ready to be used before actually issuing the start function. Next slide. So there's a status for this. We do provide status if the system is synchronized or not. How do we determine the status? It's based off if you have a startup sync. So every time the node agent starts an app server, it will note, you know, it will synchronize and note the status is synchronized if it completed successfully. With auto-sync, you know, this is on a designated interval, so it'll always keep your status up to date or up to real time. So that way the console reports the correct status or WSAdmin, whatever tool you're using to get the status between these configurations. It's recommended for a production environment to either set this interval to a longer time. The default is 1 minute. We recommend like 10, 20 minutes or higher based on your system. Or you can disable this. I mean, you can disable auto-sync. The reason why we don't exactly recommend completely disabling it is just this is a nice way to note that the node agent and everything else is working because it does put an entry that every time it synchronizes successfully. When auto-sync is disabled, the status will always be not synchronized in the console because we don't know if these configurations are synchronized yet. And, you know, if you don't have startup sync and that didn't happen yet, we don't know if it's actually synchronized. So you actually have to do a manual synchronization so that way we can determine the actual status. And that status is based off that epoch value of the overall repository. So obviously when you start these processes for the first time, they're going to have different timestamps, so we have to get those timestamps to match. So that's where the cache timestamps will synchronize, get that status of synchronized if it's working. Next slide. So now we're going to learn about synchronization, actual synchronization function compared to full synchronization. So synchronization, what this does is only moves over the marked files. And these marked files are the marked ones based off of actually using the WebSphere API. So if you actually go manually change it, that doesn't notify WebSphere that some file was changed. And what we do is that we change the epoch value for that folder, and obviously the digest value now has changed. So what this does is a four-phase process, where it first checks the global epoch values on the node in the deployment manager cell. So those differ, then it knows to go on to the next step, which would be to check all the folder epochs. And after it checks all the folders, it will move on to checking actually the digest values and specific files inside the conflicting folders. And then from here, it will determine if it needs to move or remove files or folders from the node agent side. To do this, the auto-sync, which is enabled by default, we'll do a synchronization every time. It's just a regular synchronization. And then also, you can do manual synchronizations through other tools. And if you do the save, there is a checkbox there that says for to save the changes, I mean, synchronize the changes. And that is just doing a regular synchronization. So that's what's going on here with the epochs, and once they are synchronized, the epoch values are updated to what the deployment manager epoch values are. So all those synchronizations won't have to go through all these phases of actually checking out the files. Next slide. So with the full synchronization, what this is doing is usually modifications outside the WASM APIs that, you know, if you go manually change these files, I mean, synchronization won't figure that out. You would want to issue a full synchronization. And this is a basic three-step process where all the epoch values are reset. So that way they all differ. And then so that means we have to calculate every file's digest inside the repository and compare it from ND to the base. And then we move whatever files are different. This is executed, you know, manually. If you do the sync node, we'll learn more about that. Or you can do a full synchronization, which is in the console or other scripting tools. And this also happens whenever the deployment manager node agent is restarted, because obviously those are starting with new epoch values because it just started up, because epoch values are stored in cache. Next slide. So the sync node script, specifically this is inside your WebSphere bin directory, .sh, .bat, based on the operating system. This basically forces a full synchronization between the node and deployment manager. So it compares everything, moves down the files, and usually this is used when your node agent isn't working, if it can't start up or fails to work, or if you are hitting full synchronization, it still doesn't synchronize, you might want to run this script. The reason why is that the node agent, when it moves files, it is validating the information inside the files. It's actually checking to make sure this information is valid to be used on the node. While synchronization is literally just looking at just the files that, if they differ, move it. Doesn't matter if that file is corrupted, has, you know, bad information in there or information that can't be used. It'll just move the files and make sure that those two configurations are matching. That might be something, you know, to note, that if you're having problems, this just moves the files without thinking about what's inside the files. And because of that, I mean, this isn't going to update the status, because the status is determined between the node agent and the deployment manager. So even though you run the script, you might still see the console says not synchronized. And the other thing to note is the sync node uses the ports that the node agent is running on, so you have to stop the node agent to run the sync node script. Next slide. So with our administrative tools, other ways to execute the synchronization is with WSAdmin. You connect to the deployment manager process, and in there you can see the specific commands that returns the mbean, the refresh epoch value in step 2, that's what's resetting it, only if you want to do a full synchronization. If you're not caring about full synchronization, you can skip step 1 and 2. You can move on just to step 3 just to do a regular synchronization in WSAdmin. And then what we do is, like I said, we get the node sync because the node agent is doing the synchronization. And then we invoke the sync function on there, on the node agent. Through the console, you go to the system administration, the nodes box. Inside there, you'll see each node. You check off which node you want to synchronize. And there's two different buttons, one synchronization, one full resynchronization. So you get to choose which one you want to do. Next slide. So looking at the actual JMX M beans for these specific beans, so if you actually want an API code in there, or previously on that WSAdmin command, you can see these are the functions we are calling, the sync function in there. The cell sync M bean here, you can see that give you the search string there. It does have one function, which is sync node. And then the node sync M bean, which also you have a not only the type, but the specific node that you want to get, because you're going to get a list back if you don't have that node part in the search string. And there you can see there's the command to sync, and also there's a command to check the epoch values of just, is the node synchronized, so that way you don't need to do this. Again, they do send out notifications of initiated and completed synchronization. But note, as stated before, the installed apps do get synchronized. This could say completed, but it doesn't mean that app is actually expanded out and ready to be used. So you have to be careful of that. Next slide. We're looking at this in a picture sense. See, the node is always initiating and starting this up. So the node first pings the deployment manager, the cell sync mbean, to say that we got to start synchronizing. They check out the values. It reads the central configuration to figure out all the epoch values. Well, it's already in cache, but it's basically determining from the cell repository, and then it determines what files need to be moved. So it moves it down to the node agent, and the node agent pushes it into the actual node-specific configuration. Next slide. So how do these files get moved? We do have this file transfer. There's a file transfer year file that's installed. And this is what's actually moving the files for your synchronization function. This is keeping your cell up to date. The service runs on the deployment manager and the node agent. So this is ensuring that the configuration between these two systems are propagated and that both systems are working properly and have the information. Next slide. So we can see a picture of this where the files synchronization servlet running on the deployment manager uses HTTP or HTTPS based on how you want this to work. Use that protocol to push down the XML files or any of the files down to the node agent. And the node agent then, you know, the file transfer client will recreate that file and put that information into the node that it's needed. So it's fairly basic. And note that that's why that file transfer here is installed on the deployment manager that you can see on the lists in version 5 and 5.1. That's installed on there just to do this. If that's not installed or stopped, this will not happen, so your synchronization will fail. Next slide. So now we're going to go into some problem determination. How do we determine if we have a problem? What do we need to do with this? So here we need to first determine, is this a discovery problem or a synchronization problem? You know, because each one of these determine where the problem's at. What we have to collect is very different in how to determine what's happening. Easy way to do this is look at the console, see the status. If the status is not synchronized, we have a synchronization problem. If the status is actually unknown or unavailable, that means we have a discovery problem because we haven't discovered each other to do anything to find out statuses. For discovery problems, with WebSphere support, we did create a bunch of must-gathers out there on our support site that you can search for. And each of these must-gathers note specific traces and other commands that we need to run to collect and determine what's going on these problem servers. So for discovery, we have a specific trace string here. You enable this on all processes that are in question. So if this is between the deployment manager and node agent, you would enable the traces on both of those. If this is the node agent trying to discover one of the app servers, you would enable tracing on those. And with the between the different systems, because the node agent and deployment manager could be on different systems, we do recommend doing some network or IP traces just to make sure if, you know, somehow the packets are getting corrupted or aren't being sent, that could be a problem there. So that's with the discovery one. While synchronization, we just require just WebSphere traces on there. Again, there's a must-gather documented out there that you can actually see the trace string. So do check that out on our support site. Next slide. So we're going to look at specific discovery issues here, where what you need to do once you collect the traces is we need to review those traces. The first thing to determine is the discovery broadcast. Remember, the first step was to broadcast the message to all the servers. If it's not broadcasting, then, you know, there's a problem there. And you can see here's a trace from the trace log that's created. You can see a message called send message successful, so you can determine that. And you can see this is TCP, so we definitely know we made a connection, so that sort of eliminates the network problems. If it's UDP, it could send it successfully, but doesn't mean it received it successfully, so that is something to note there. And then the next thing to check after that would be, you know, did the discovery query and the discovery response, did that information get sent there? Did it understand it? Did it, you know, was it able to send back a response? What's going on with this? So the next slide. So we need to determine for the broadcast, here's more specific information. You can see in the beginning we do have, we do note a message in the tracing that states who, you know, the source is from and who's the destination. So you can see the actual IP addresses and the port numbers. And you can see this is for the discovery service, so you can determine, you know, maybe it's the wrong IP or the correct IP, the wrong port or whatever. And you can see us open up the socket. You can see that the socket is good, and then we get this, the message is sent successfully. And this is the last entry, that once you hit this last entry down here, there's nothing else to look for. So, you know, if you see another one of these start up, you know that that's on a different thing. Another thing to do is follow the same thread, because we're not going to switch around the thread during this process. That make sure you stay on the same thread to determine if this thread was successful sending it out. Next slide. So the discovery query message, like I said, it's sent in XML, so in the traces we can read the XML information. You see it's a nice big block. Again, at the top, you can see the TCP connection run. That means that we actually got the connection, and this is the entry that we're going to start doing stuff. Again, you got to follow the same thread. This would be on a different machine, so the thread ID might be different, not matching the slide before. But you can see that we have an incoming discovery message, and then we can see that, you know, we have the query ID inside this big block of information. It does have a query ID of 1. the peer advertisements, you know, it tells who was sent from, all the information in there, and at the end you can see who this was sent to, was sent to the node agent, you can see under the role, and you can see the cell and node name. So you can see you can review all this information to make sure it's sending correct information somehow. And it got all this information from the configuration files. So if the configurations aren't synchronized or they're not set up properly, they might be sending incorrect information here in this packet. And then we do note on a different thread that we did discover it, and this will also be in the system out, that second to last line, where that we discovered the deployment manager and the TID that we got. And then you got, again, the last line closing the socket, so that means it completed. You can see the TCP connection and completed. So in between this is all the information for that specific thread in action. The next slide. With this, here's the response message. Again, you got the TCP connection run and the TCP connection end, so it's in between here. We follow the same thread, and then we can see the incoming discovery message. Again, you know, has the query ID. We got to make sure it matches. That this is query ID 1, so it matches with that the initial query was sent out. And also has information about, again, who it's from, the target information, who it's going to. It's going to the deployment manager. And then, again, we can see that it notes that it discovered the deployment manager. I mean, the deployment manager discovered the node agent and the TID discovered. Next slide. So a common problem that we do see at client sites is that the init discovery fails. Basically, the discovery never starts up, never broadcasts. So looking at it, you can see maybe the port is not listening. So the discovery port, you can do netstat, see that information on your system, and see if that discovery port is listening or maybe it's bogged down or what's going on with that. If you actually trace it where the discovery port is not listening, in this example, we see that in the node agent trace, that we're assuming the node agent discovery port didn't start up. What you do is first find this null pointer exception, you know, that during you got an initialization discovery problem, it's a null pointer on some information about somebody. You grab that thread ID, and then you start going up from there. Moving up is find out what server, so once you hit one server, the first server you hit from going from the error up is the problem server that we have to focus on. So we can see, you know, this test server had some problem, we've got some SOAP address, and then we all of a sudden we have a null pointer exception. Now if we go to the next slide, we can look at this information about the server to determine what's wrong. In this case, you first go to the server index.xml file. This is located, again, in your config directory. It's the cell, the cell name, nodes, and then this specific node, this problem node. We want to go on this machine. Since this is on the node agent, we want to look at the node repository, too, to figure out what's wrong with the node repository. Look in here, and we see inside here the specific, you search for the server name, you got the test server, and it is case sensitive, so do make sure that you are matching up the same server names just in case of you reusing the names. The next thing is, you know, we saw the SOAP connection. We did have a null pointer right after that, so we want to first verify, you know, maybe the host name or port or something's incorrect. But do you see those entries there? So the next thing to do after that is go check out the server information. You know, go to inside this node, you'll have the server folder, and then inside there you should have a test server folder to match for the server configuration. And look inside there at the server.xml file to find out if it has any corruption or if it's missing. In this case, we do see a common thing that the test server won't be there, the actual directory won't be there inside the server. This is just on this example. It doesn't mean it's always this. But in this example, the common thing is that we do see that, you know, if that folder is missing but the server index.xml file does have a reference to a server, you will get this null pointer problem and discovery won't start up, because it won't know how to discover all the processes that it needs to. So there's a tech note about this. Again, it's on our Webster support site. You can search for this if you actually do have the null pointer problem, and it'll go through a lot more information of how to do this, because it's a quick overview. Note, when correcting this problem, yes, all you need to do is remove this entry. In this case, you would just remove the entry above in that server index.xml file for the test server. If you remove that completely, what's seen above, then the node agent won't try to find that, won't have a null pointer, it'll start up and work. But the problem to note is if this is in the master configuration, the corruption is in there, once the node agent starts up and discovers, you'll synchronize, and then the next time you recycle the node agent, you're going to be back to this problem. So one thing to check is if you do have any problems that you find on a specific node, is to go validate that if that problem exists on the master configuration. So you want to go check in there, make sure if this has that server information, that it's cleared out, because it could have been that the master configuration is correct and maybe the synchronization got stopped in the middle of it, maybe the node agent crashed or something else happened, that we couldn't get all the files moved down, and that's why, you know, the node agent recycled and didn't have all the files. That's your problem. Or it could be that actually your master configuration is corrupted and we need to clean that up to fix this problem. If you do have this problem where, you know, if you don't want to manually fix this inside the node, but you see that the cell is correct, what you'd use is that sync node script. You'd execute that and node synchronize the files for you. Again, it's not actually validating this information here where it's going, hey, I have a server called test server. I don't have a test server folder. You know, I need to fail synchronization. It's just going to move the files down. It doesn't care that there's actually a test server folder and what files it has. Like I said, synchronization, the sync node script just purely pulls down the files. Next slide. So here, now we're going to look at synchronization problems here. This is just a quick overview that, you know, first thing to do is understand the synchronization problem. You know, make sure that File Transfer Enterprise app is running, installed on the deployment manager. Make sure, you know, the node agent and deployment manager are up and running in that issue of full synchronization, because it could be just a status problem. As noted before, if you disable auto-sync and you never issue to sync, we're going to have a status of not synchronized. So let's issue a full resynchronization just to make sure that those two repositories, not just an epoch value that's not checked out yet and set up properly. So that's why, you know, we want to just do that first. Another thing to try out is execute the sync node script to see if there's any problems, you know, between the deployment manager and moving the configuration files. You know, again, it's not validating the information, but it's making sure that the deployment manager is working correctly so that way we can narrow it down and you can do traces inside there. The admin console still shows not synchronized after the full resynchronization, but the sync node is working. It could mean that specific information inside there, inside these XML files, are having problems. As noted, like in that discovery case, that's actually something the sync node would still move down without any problems. But the synchronization of the node agent and everything, you know, will note some problems later on. Again, at the bottom, there is a website link there to the direct document about synchronization, specific traces that you collect on the node agent deployment manager and recreate the problem, what files that we need to collect up to debug these issues. But basically, you're going to be looking for the specific error, find out what's wrong, what the error message means. You know, it could be a specific file doesn't understand, null pointer about something it's looking for. So that's what you really, I mean, can't go through too many examples because there's a lot of different problems with this, but there are some tech notes about, you know, how to solve some of these problems or give IBM support a call and to collect up this information. Next slide. And, basically, now we're going to open up to questions, Elaine, and just note if you do have a question about a specific slide, please note the number of the slide if you do remember. That way we can reference that and look at that.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you very much, James. Kelsey, do you want to join us now? We'd like to open up the call for questions.
Oh, certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing the star key, followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you are joining us on a speakerphone, please be sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We will take our first question from Todd Holt.
Hello. I've got a question about the ear synchronization. I know when we were on that slide, you mentioned that a full synchronization didn't synchronize the ear. When does the ear synchronize, and is there any way we can force that if we see that it needs to be synced or pushed out to the nodes?
No, a full synchronization will push it down. I mean, any synchronization can. It's just regular synchronization. We'll first check the epoch value. If the epoch value of the application's folder says they're the same, then we're not going to look at the actual ear file. But a full synchronization resets that all, so we'll look at the ear file, calculate the digest values, and compare it between each machine. So if the node agent and deployment manager do have different ear file digest values, then we will move down the ear file and then expand it out.
Okay. We've seen situations where the full sync didn't push out the ear. Have you seen any of those or know of any issues there?
That is really unusual. I wouldn't know of any issues. I mean, I've never seen any issues with the full synchronization when that's issued versus, I mean, I've seen it when synchronization is issued, and that's mostly, like I said, because of the digest values. I mean, the epoch values that are cached, that they match. But full synchronization should move it down if the ear files differ. So that could be one thing to check. Is, I mean, in the config directories, if these ear files are identical, in the sense of, you know, the size, then it's not going to move those ear files.
Sure. Okay, that was all I had.
Right. If you are having problems, definitely go do the traces of synchronization and open up the PMR, because we definitely want to look at that because find out what's going on.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Sure.
As a reminder, it is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. And as a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question, and we will pause to give everyone a final opportunity. And Ms. Papanicolaou, it appears we have no further questions. I'll turn the conference back to you for any closing or additional remarks.
Thank you, Kelsey. So at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you, and we do appreciate your participation. Remember that a replay of this presentation will be available on the IBM WebSphere Technical Exchange site within the next day or two. And keep your eye on that site for future presentations as well. We look forward to you joining us for more presentations. Thanks very much for joining us today. And thank you, James, very much.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
Thank you. That does conclude today's conference. On behalf of IBM, I would like to thank you for your participation. Enjoy the rest of your day.